When I was in high school, I was a member of the cross-country team. I wasn't very fast. I ran mostly on the JV team. But I did have good coaches and developed from them an appreciation for running and have continued running off and on since then. And over the years, I've competed in a bunch of races and have even completed 3 half marathons. My goal, of course, one day is hopefully to complete a full marathon. We'll just have to see about that. But one thing I learned from my experience is that running a race like a half marathon is not an isolated event. You don't just wake up one morning and out of the blue declare, I think I'll run a half marathon today. You don't do that unless you are some sort of superhuman athlete, because to compete in a long race like that requires training. For the average person to properly prepare for a half marathon requires at least 18 weeks of preparation. You simply have to put in the miles to get your body ready for a race. You have to train. Now, training is not the only component of preparing for a race. I have discovered there's another aspect to running that is completely invisible. My neighbors will see me running through the neighborhood, but what they don't see is the myriad of choices that I have to make about running. To prepare for a race requires countless decisions. There are the big obvious decisions, such as, do I really want to run a half marathon? And if the answer is no, which is what any reasonable person would say, if the answer is no, then that's the end of that pursuit. But if the answer is yes, then that leads to other decisions, such as, well, what's going to be my training plan? What are my goals? How much am I willing to sacrifice for this? And as you go, the decisions, they generally get smaller, but they're still important. It's raining outside. Do I really want to run today? What am I going to eat? How much sleep should I get? Is it time to replace these shoes yet? These are the choices that are required every day. Choices that are factors in success or failure. To the casual observer of a marathon, those who line up along the route, when they're there standing on the sidelines, all they're going to see is runners passing by. And to these observers, the race is just a single isolated event. The observers can't see the months and the years of training and the untold decisions that got the runners to this point. The same is true for any significant event in our lives. For example, I can attend my nephew's high school graduation, and all I see are kids dressed in robes crossing a stage to collect a piece of paper from a guy who probably talked far too long. I don't see the years of study and commitment and the countless decisions they made to get them to that stage. What I also don't see are those kids whose decisions led them to other places. The book of Hebrews is about choices and the decisions that we as people of faith make. And today's reading even talks to us a bit about running a race. This sermon today concludes our 7-week series from the book of Hebrews. And I will admit that Hebrews is not the most exciting portion of our scripture, but I have developed a strong appreciation for what it is doing, and I thank you for persevering with me through this. We call this book a letter, the letter to the Hebrews. But it's actually a sermon, or maybe an essay. And it was written to a particular congregation in Rome in the late first century. This congregation had been struggling for some time. Some of its people had already chosen to leave the church. Others were considering doing so. And it is the belief of the writer of Hebrews that the members of this congregation did not have a complete understanding of who Jesus was. What they knew about Jesus was not enough to sustain them in times of personal difficulty or spiritual crisis. So the writer sets out to show them how Jesus is crucial to their salvation. Jesus, he says, Jesus is the Son of God and part of God's cosmic plan for the salvation of the world. Since most of the members of this Hebrew congregation are Jews who converted to Christianity, the writer talks to them in terms with which they will be familiar. He talks about the high priest in the temple who makes sacrifices for the sins of the people. The high priest, they pour out the ritual blood of animals and they sprinkle the altar with burnt offerings. And they make these offerings continually, day after day after day. And Hebrews tells us that Jesus, on the other hand, Jesus sacrifices only once because it is sufficient. And he doesn't sacrifice with the blood of animals, but instead he uses his own blood. The high priest, they sacrifice for the sins of the flesh. But Jesus' sacrifice is for the sins of the conscience. The high priest offers sacrifice for forgiveness. Jesus makes his sacrifice for redemption, to enable people to be changed. In the end, this letter to the Hebrews is about choices. What do the people in the congregation choose to do? Do they choose to seek salvation through Jesus, or do they choose to wander off looking for answers somewhere else? The writer assures them that they are not alone. Others, he says, have gone before them. We call these the saints, and Hebrews identifies them as a cloud of witnesses. And this cloud of witnesses, they are the members of the faith who have gone before and who embrace all who follow them in the faith. The writer tells his people here to run with perseverance the race that is set before them. And as they run, they are to look to Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of the faith. Think about those pioneers who crossed our nation. They struggled through the wilderness to find a new home. They blazed trails so that others could follow them. As a pioneer of the faith, Jesus is the one who goes ahead of us, setting the way. Jesus' way, however, led to the cross. But he went there willingly. He went there despite the shame that it brought upon him. In the end, however, Jesus has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. The choice that the writer puts before his people is this. He asks them, how do you choose to run? Do you run with perseverance all the way to the end? Or do you quit when you've had enough? Running's tough. A runner will encounter fatigue and cramps, sore muscles, blisters, and more. This writer is challenging his people to stick with the race and not give up. They may not be fighting blisters, but they will encounter temptation, persecution, doubt, and more. These are the obstacles which can cause them to quit their faith, to leave the race. Hebrews wants the people to remember that they are not alone, that they are surrounded by this cloud of witnesses. And this cloud of witnesses, they are like the spectators lining a race. But they are not just casual observers. They are also runners who have run this race before. They stand along the race course, cheering the runners towards the finish, offering encouragement, pointing out the route to any who may get lost. As the runners run, they are to look to Jesus. No matter what the people might be struggling with, we are told that Jesus has gone before. Jesus has experienced temptation and doubt and persecution and suffering. He is the pioneer of anything that they might experience. He endured the suffering of the cross and death because he knew of the ultimate joy that it would bring to those who followed him. He was blazing a trail of salvation through a wilderness. The cross was not an instrument of glory. The cross was an instrument of shame. And yet, despite the shame of this cross, Jesus now has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. He is our King. The people of the Hebrews congregation would have known the account of Jesus' crucifixion and the events that led up to it. They would have known of his being arrested and being brought before the Roman governor, Pilate, on charges of sedition. They would have known of Pilate's interrogating him and asking him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus telling him, "My kingdom? My kingdom is not from this world. For I came into the world to testify to the truth." And then Pilate asked Jesus, "What is truth?" And we don't know from this question if Pilate is asking, "What is this truth that you are referring to?" Or if he's just cynically questioning the existence of any sort of truth in the world. What is truth? It doesn't matter, because the truth is what the book of Hebrews is proclaiming to the world, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is King. He sacrificed himself so that we might know the salvation of God. The best way, I believe, to conclude this sermon series is to go back and revisit the opening words of the book. So listen now to the first three verses. "Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he has made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Jesus Christ is our King. He is the one who brings us salvation through God. He is the one we should follow, even when it seems that it is too tough to continue on this race. We are called to persevere, to make the choice to follow him. Amen.